But now on BBC Radio 4, that rib-tickling, tongue-twisting contest is back.
Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my tremendous pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four attractive and talented players of this game. I mean, who can resist the spontaneous humour and brilliant repartee of Paul Merton? Who can resist the charm and personality of Lisa Tarbuck? Who can resist the wit and clever enunciations and observations of Kit Hesketh-Harvey? And who can resist the engaging personality of that fine actor, Charles Collingwood? Would you please welcome all four of them? To ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Susie Best, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the City Varieties, that wonderful theatre in the heart of that fine city of Leeds. And as you can hear, we have a fine, tuned-up Yorkshire audience in front of us, ready to cheer us on our way. Let's begin the show with Paul Merton, and who better? Oh, Paul, a very apt subject to start with, music hall. Because this theatre is one of the most famous music hall theatres in the country, and it's still going strong. But the subject is music hall, Paul, and you start now.
Well, as Nicholas just said, the City Varieties Leeds is one of the oldest theatres in the country. If you look back through the record books, you will see that Charlie Chaplin appeared in here in 1896 in an act called The Eight Lancashire... Sorry about that.
Lisa Tarbuck, you challenged.
It's stumbling, wasn't it?
Yes,
I leapt in.
So you leapt in, and we call that hesitation.
Hesitation,
right. So, Lisa, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of music hall, and there are 47 seconds available starting now.
When I was young, I made my name by appearing in various musical acts. The first one was me in a barrel as a strong man. I'd lie very low in the barrel, and I'd...
Kit has challenged.
I'm so sorry, it's barrel.
Thank the Lord.
You repeated your barrel. You had too much of a barrel there, right?
Roll out those barrels.
So we're going to hear from three of them on this first round on the subject of music hall. Perhaps I should explain to my listeners that frissons of laughter that occurred then, because only three of them are here at the moment. Charles Collingwood, who works in another show on Radio 4 called The Archers, has left his production in Birmingham to come up here to Leeds, and unfortunately the traffic's so bad, he's on his way. We hope he'll be here before we finish. But Kit, you had a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You have 36 seconds. Tell us something about music hall, starting now.
I was overjoyed to discover I had an ancestress who worked this very hall. She was called Kitty Brewster and divinely taught Queen Victoria to play the ukulele. This is true. It's a glorious image if you sit and think of them at Osborne House strumming away together. She had a troupe of six girls and was caught behind enemy lines before the Great War, and using only her instruments and her wiles, managed to make it back to a heroine's welcome here in these British shores, and what joy and rapture there was. I'm not quite sure what her wiles were, but they...
Yes, you deserve that round of applause, but Paul got in, I know what the on the repetition is.
Repetition of wiles.
Wiles, yes. And there are 6 seconds, Paul, on Music Hall with you again, starting now.
The Good Old Days was a television programme transmitted from this very theatre, and Leonard Sachs, the chairman, used to stand up and say, "Where's Charles Collingwood?"
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion it was Paul Merton, so he's got that extra one. And, oh, at the end of the round, let me tell you, well, you can imagine what the situation is. Paul's got two and the other two have got one each, so that's fine.
What about Charles?
Charles Collingwood. Charles Collingwood is yet to score. He's due to start the next round as well. Someone in the front said hesitation.
Should we not just give Charles his subject and see what happens?
All right, then, I will, Paul. Very good idea, right. So, Charles Collingwood, would you take the next one? And, Charles, the subject is a slippery slope. Would you talk for 60 seconds on that subject, starting now? Kit, you've challenged.
Repetition.
Of what?
Because he didn't say anything last time.
He hasn't had a chance yet.
I think that was a harsh challenge, Nicholas. I think we should give Charles another go.
Yes, I think.
Give him a point. Give the man a point.
No, I know. That wasn't a repetition, definitely. So, Charles, there are... with only 1 second to go, Charles, there are still 59 seconds available on the slippery slope starting now. Lisa, you've challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He's not paying attention.
You can carry on with this game and not pay attention. It doesn't matter. He's got another point. Charles has got another point. That's two points. And on for the first challenge. Two incorrect challenges so far. Charles Collingwood, a slippery slope still with you, and 57 seconds starting now. Paul, you've challenged.
Repetition of Zoological Gardens.
No, I'm sorry, I panicked.
I don't know why you've all been playing the game for a long time. You could have had him for hesitation, but nobody's bothered.
Oh,
yes,
of course. That's right.
He might make the same mistake.
So that's another point to Charles, because that's an incorrect challenge. 56 seconds, still are with you, Charles. A slippery slope starting now. Yes, Lisa.
Hesitation!
Yes. So, Lisa, you have a correct challenge, and you've got the subject of slippery slope with you, and there are 56 seconds starting now.
The slipperiest slope I've ever been on was a skiing ridge in Austria, in the town of Obergurgl. Let me tell you straight away, I'm not very good at skiing. I started life at the back of the row of skiers, and then I ended up at the front, at a precipice at one point, which was quite worrying. I did have tonsillitis, and I was always much better after two glasses of Glühwein, but then isn't everybody? I'd get down to the ski lodge about 1 o'clock, meet my mum and my brother, who was calling himself rather wittily a snow cat, and mock him for hours and long.
It's an impossible game. So, Kit, what was your chance?
Well, it was hesitation, I think.
It was hesitation, because she couldn't resist saying hours again. So, Kit, you got in. Another point to you. Slippery slopes with you. 22 seconds starting now.
The most slippery slope is the vertiginous rake here on the stage at the City Varieties Leeds. But I once went down the flumes at Centre Parks in Thetford, which was like having a high colonic irrigation. It was just astonishing. By the time I got to the bottom in the tangle of naked limbs with people from Dagenham, I was so cleansed and purified, I rejoiced at the thrill of it all.
Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. And you've got him with 1 second.
Oh, you pig.
And after the way he went so magnificently on his slippery slope. 1 second on slippery slope, Paul, starting now.
The slippery slope.
Paul Melton got the point for speaking then as the whistle went, and he's moved forward. And, Kit, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my favourite pudding. That's a lovely subject. Talk on it, 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
What can I say here in the City Varieties Leeds? But my favourite pudding is, of course, Yorkshire. What a prince of dishes that is. Curiously enough, there was a competition held in this very city to try and find who could make the best of these puddings. It was won by a Chinaman, pleasingly called Mr. Tin, and his secret recipe was supposed to involve Dalek sauce. That turned out to be a Cantonese joke, but what he did was to put the flour and the salt into the eggs rather than the other way round, which more conventionally is used, which you make a... Well,
Lisa, you challenge.
Do you know what? It was repetition of city. Excuse me, who's this?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, love. You're doing very well.
I'm up to my knees in slurry, guys.
Right. It's all right, Charles. You made a magnificent entrance, but please don't milk it. Right. Someone challenged on...
I challenged for repetition of city.
Yes, I think you're right.
Although it was hesitation. Well, does that mean I get two points?
No, darling, you only get one. Oh. You only have one hesitation. But anyway, you've got 1 point for a correct challenge, and you take over. It's my favourite pudding, by the way, Charles. 26 seconds on my favourite pudding, starting now.
I'm a savouries girl at the end of the day. However, occasionally I like 2 scoops of ice cream. I'll go 1 chocolate and 1 vanilla, if you're talking in Spain, because that is where I would normally have my pudding.
I'm sorry, she hesitated as well. It was actually repetition of the 2 scoops.
She got out of it so well with her Italiano, but Kit, you got in with a hesitation, 13 seconds available. Another point to you. course, my favourite pudding starting now.
And it billows up like a cushion, crisp and golden and in you tuck. You can put maple syrup into it.
Paul, challenge.
Oh, cushions normally crisp and golden.
Have you seen Nicholas's?
I think it's deviation. Cushions are never crisp.
No, you're not.
By nature, they're soft and giving and
that's
yielding,
right,
aren't they?
Yes.
Never crisp. You've never sat on a crisp cushion, have you, Nicholas?
I have.
You look as if, I bet you haven't.
I have, but it was better. But I soon shot up because I knew it wasn't a proper cushion.
Exactly.
They may look crisp and golden, but they are soft and giving, as you said, Paul.
Indeed.
So you have a correct challenge of deviation. And you have 6 seconds on my favourite pudding starting now.
Undoubtedly, the best pudding I ever ate was at the Festival of Britain in 1951.
So, at the end of that round, Paul again was speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead over the others. But it's very interesting. Charles Collingwood, who's yet to speak, is still in second place. And, right, Lisa, it's your turn
That's
to begin.
Again.
Lisa, the subject now is daytime television. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
As a rule, daytime television goes straight through from 6 a.m. in the morning to 6 a.m. the following morning.
Paul, repetition of 6 a.m.
You're absolutely right.
6 anyway. Paul, you've got him with 54 seconds to go on daytime television starting now.
When I was growing up, there wasn't much daytime television. Of course, you have a great deal of it now. There starts, as Lisa said, round about the early hours of the morning, and daytime television, by definition, I suppose, finishes when it gets dark, although the actual medium continues. But it's an all load of rubbish, isn't it? I've painted my house blue, you've done yours red.
Get new challenge.
Sorry, hesitation.
I wouldn't call that a slight hesitation, but enough to give you the subject.
Cruel, I'm sorry.
And no, that's fine.
No. 35 seconds on. Daytime television, Kit, 35 seconds starting now.
Daytime television?
And,
well, I thought there was a hesitation there.
Kit.
Evil.
You're evil, playing the game with great panache, Paul, but it was incorrect. And Kit's got another point. 34 and a half seconds. Daytime television starting now.
I don't think daytime television is in the least boring when you see fragrant Hannah Gordon wafting through her watercolour challenge, or even the craggy old majestic magnificence that is Michael Parkinson, a Yorkshireman, on his antiques programme, which I used to share with the divine Penny Smith, irresistibly sexy and sensual as we adjudged old pieces handed to us by Eric Knowles. Going for a snog, I hoped to call it, but it never got that far. There's also Call My Bluff with ripping little Sandy Toxfig punching Alan Corran in the kneecaps. And
so, Chris Hester-Garding, making the subject interesting and going into the whistle wind, gained an extra point. And at the end of that round, he not only got that extra point, he is only one behind our leader, Paul Merton. Charles! Your turn to legitimately start. The subject is bookworm, starting now.
The only time I could legitimately be called a bookworm is when I'm on holiday and I have time to lie by the side of that mezzanine pool with a pile of gorgeous books that I've meant to read for many a year, but because of the busy life...
Kit has challenged.
So we're having trouble over here with mezzanine pool. Isn't that deviation? I mean, wouldn't the whole thing just sort of flow down the stairs?
I think so.
You have another point, Kit, and you have 46 seconds on bookworm starting now.
There's a famous brain teaser about a bookworm. You have to imagine it chomping through 3,000-page encyclopedias on a shelf from A to Z. How many pages does it eat? Oh, bother.
Here's the challenge.
Pages.
Pages.
No, it was page the first time.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, you are alert, Nicholas, aren't you?
My job.
You surprised me then, Mr. Parsons.
Yes. So, it was a single and a plural.
I think she's coming on to you, Nicky.
Well, with her new dark hair, I'm absolutely tempted. The, an incorrect challenge, so another point to you, Kit. And how many seconds? 35 seconds on bookworm starting now.
From A to Z, how many does, did I start that before?
We had from A to Z.
I'm sorry, I was picking up where I left off.
Right. So now you have it, Paul. And 34 seconds, bookworm starting now.
Well, it's a derogatory term, but it shouldn't be, because the read books is the path to a good education. Those variety acts that used to fill this theatre back in the 1970s, they didn't read books, but they would have done if they'd had the opportunity.
Charles.
Who reads?
Yes, you read books, yes, read. They did really? What it could, yes, they could read if
oh,
they could.
It's tricky when the subject's bookworms, yes. Isn't it? Yes.
Ooh.
22 Ooh. Seconds Genius. With you, Charles.
Never, Nicholas.
Or back with you, bookworm, starting now.
Lying on the sandy beach.
Could you? That was hesitation.
Don't be so silly, Paul.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're going to park a bus in that, or driven from Birmingham.
Huge gap. Massive
gap there.
A man of impeccable timing.
No, he was only trying to get back to you about the unsporting challenge. But I'm always fair. It wasn't hesitation. So, Charles, you've got another point. You have the subject. 21 seconds. Bookworm starting now.
It takes a long time to read an enormous amount of books and to become a bookworm. I'm glad I'm not married to a bookworm. Otherwise, nothing in the house would ever get done.
Lisa Janish.
I had to come in on hesitation, but
you
also
do, you...
just for the sake of females everywhere.
Yeah. And you have 9 seconds to tell us something about bookworms starting now.
This summer, I read for the first time Philip Pullman's trilogy about the little girl Lara and working in Oxford and roaming round the streets with her friend, walking through...
So Lisa Tarbuck was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And she's now, well, she's moved forward, but she's still in fourth place. But she's not very far behind. The other three, Kit, it's your turn to begin. Curiosities. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In the back streets of Norwich, in Lower Goat Lane, there's a curiosity shop. You can tell which it is by the dead cats on the doormat. You go inside and a voice says, I am... which is the shortest sentence in the English language. You say, what a funny smell. It's the cockroaches. It's a curiosity, but they carry on living for 9 days after they've had their heads chopped off. What do you sell here? Windscreen wipers and laser jets, all invented by women, remarkably enough. Can I have some lipstick, please? No, because there's none left. They use up 5 times their height in a lifetime. Would you like a stuffed porcupine, the only mammal which kisses on the lips? You're barking mad, I said. I must get out of here. Don't go!
Yes, you went well, though.
Oh, it was...
Really?
I was there.
Yes, and there's only...
Paul,
you challenge first.
Yes, you said something about a mammal, the only mammal that kisses on the lips. Well, humans kiss on the lips, don't they? They're mammals.
I suppose technically, if you want to do that sort of thing.
And also, it was a very long advert for this shop in Norwich, which surely must be against the BBC's charter.
12 seconds. Curiosities with you, Paul, starting now.
The most curious shop I've ever been to is in Norwich, where I actually own the establishment and I dress up as this old proprietor. And when Kit Hefsikavi comes in, I give him a right load of old bollocks about a load of old rubbish. And he sits there and laughs at him.
Yes. Well, that last point was well deserved. What a clever way. That's why he's so good at the game. He takes the other subject and twists it back on his previous tormentor. Right. You've now moved ahead. You're 2 ahead of the other 2 and 3 ahead of Lisa. And Charles, your turn to begin. The subject, the Great Wall of China. 60 seconds as usual. Charles, starting now.
I can only think of one thing more boring than having to go and look at the Great Wall of China. than being the person who built it all those many years ago. The thought of standing with bricks in your hands, putting one solid slab on top of the other, year after year, watching the fact...
It's been a very long day for me. Oh, no, you did so well. You were appointed seeing one brick on top of the other brick.
And I was congratulating myself.
Yes.
You relax and it all lets go, doesn't it?
Paul, right. The Great Wall of China, 42 seconds, starting now.
Apparently, from the Great Wall of China, you can see the moon. Isn't that an extraordinary fact? As Charles mentioned earlier, the Great Wall was built by... It's not actually finished yet. We're expecting it to be done in a couple of weeks' time, if it's anything like the builders I've had in the past. But a magnificent structure that it is, and when they constructed this...
Construct
and constructed.
I was too quick.
I know.
Sorry, Paul.
You were too slow earlier on in the show, but because you didn't get it.
Now, in my life, Nicholas.
Juices are now flowing.
Your contribution's great. Don't worry, Charles.
Foxtrot, isn't it? Yeah. Quick,
Paul,
quick,
an incorrect challenge. 22 seconds still available on the Great Wall of China, starting now.
One of the great variety acts of the 19th century was the Great Wall of China. It was very dull but comprehensive. The act would usually begin around at 4:30 in the morning and would carry on to about several weeks later as brick by solid slab was placed on top of one another year after 12 months. It seemed like there was no end to it. What a magnificent achievement it was.
Oh, you're getting your money's worth in the City Varieties.
I thought he made me look a bit of a fool towards the end.
Nobody could ever do that, Charles.
No, I think he did.
He's just shining.
I think he did. I'm on the edge here. I could just slip off again. You wouldn't notice.
He's excelling himself, as he often does, and right. But with those extra points Paul got in that round, and one of the speakers was a went, he's moved forward. He's now in a lead just ahead of Kit Hesketh Harvey, and then come Charles Collingwood and Lisa Tarbuck, only a couple of points behind. I give you that situation because we're moving into the final round.
What the heck?
Well, I tell you what, would you like us to come back again? I will fix that for you if I possibly can. And maybe the same audience will come and see us again. Who knows? Right, Lisa, would you take the last round? It's actually your turn as well. And the subject is, what a good one. God's Own County. They recognise it in the front there. Everybody in the front row claps before they say anything. It's lovely. Right. Lisa, 60 seconds starting now.
I had a good idea that God's Own County might be up north, but to be quite honest with you, I thought for the whole of Sunday it was actually Kent. Then I moved through to Surrey. But in fact, I've invented God's Own Country, and it's called Big Grey Beardshire. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get back. And I'm not allowed to buy a holiday home, because if I do, the local children won't be allowed to stay in there and run the corn shop.
Charles.
There were two alloweds.
That's right, yes. There were indeed.
You're very strict, aren't you?
Well done, Charles, yes. So Charles...
That was going to be really good then as
it
well.
It was fascinating. By the way, I should point out, you were talking about God's Own Country and the subject of God's Own County.
Was I?
Yes.
God, it just... Do you know, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here today.
Well, we know, because we just love having you here, Lisa. You're so lovely and charming.
Uncle Nicholas.
And you can... Our secret's out. Right, Charles, you had a correct challenge. You have 45 seconds. Tell us something about God's Own County, starting now.
I have to say that God's Own County is Borsetshire. Is it not? There's only one...
Kit Charles.
It's not, no. You're labouring under a delusion. It doesn't really exist.
28 years I've been doing this.
It's a parallel universe, it's not. Charles.
I'm sorry to have to tell you, it's all fiction, Charles, that you're doing.
But hang on a minute.
Is it really?
He must have travelled from somewhere to get here.
I did, I came from Hambridge.
Yeah.
Right.
Even God's Own County. I'm rather cracking up.
It's a difficult decision because, in a way, you could say in his imagination and in the world in which he lives, in the Archers, it could be God's Own County.
Sure.
There is an argument for that. Mm. As well as
a lot of people think you're fictional, don't they?
Yes, I know. And that's why I stick to radio, so that's... No, I give it away when I come on television, don't I? Right, so I'm not going to allow it, Charles.
Do you?
Thank you.
Should we try some and find out?
Oh, thank you, audience. You're so lovely. I'm definitely coming back again. You're almost as good as when I did my one-man show here, actually. You were lovely then,
hello.
Too. Yes.
Wasn't quite this full, though, was it, Nicholas?
Does the one-man element refer to the stage or the auditorium?
They're so mean to me, aren't they? And I take it in good grace, because I know that audience know, because many of them are here, and that's why you've come back again.
Yeah. I will
get
died.
As I possibly can. Charles, you continue on God's Own County. 41 seconds, starting now.
Well, I come from Hampshire, and that's my God's Own County, I can tell you. Winchester, Andover, Southampton, Portsmouth, all places that mean everything to me. I support the county cricket team, frickin' through. That was Hampshire. That was just a bit of Hampshire dialect.
I know it was, yeah. It was a repetitious Hampshire dialect.
Yeah. It was also very sad.
And it's very suspect, too. I don't know about this frickin', so anyway...
frickin' through, you know.
Frickin' through. So, Paul, repetition. You have 25 seconds on God's Own County, starting now.
Lancashire. What a wonderful place.
I'm sorry. In here, that has to be deviation.
In here, it's courage. But Charles, a correct challenge. You've got another point. 18 seconds. God's Own County is starting now.
If I lived in Yorkshire, I'm such a creep that I would say Yorkshire is God's Own County. And Paul... You mean I can't repeat Yorkshire here?
No. You can repeat Yorkshire here, but you can't... You can repeat Yorkshire here, but you can't repeat it in just a minute, which you did. Paul got in first, and 12 seconds on God's Own County, Paul, starting now.
When we think of the great achievements of Yorkshire over the centuries, we can't help but be awed by the magnificent that has been achieved. One only...
Kit challenge.
The magnificence that has been achieved, was it?
The magnificence that's been achieved.
Oh, I think it was magnificent. Sorry.
My pronunciation of
I beg your pardon, Ditchin, dear. You have to fling it to the back of the upper circle, love, here. Love. Victor Spinetti said to have put an E on the end of everything. Nicholas Parsons. And he goes, up to the opposite.
You've gone a bit, haven't
I'm sorry, you? No, he trained me. The Boy I Love is up in the gallery, I remember doing here with him.
Right. I don't know what he's talking about, but let's go on. Paul, you had an incorrect challenge. You have another point. You're surging. Your lead is surging forward as we come to the end with 3 seconds to go on God's Own County starting now.
Beer, puddings, women, they're all better in Yorkshire.
So, in suitable style, Paul Merton brought this edition of Just a Minute to End, commenting on this place we're in here at the City Varieties in Leeds, and they have been a wonderful, true Yorkshire audience, and that will be our memories. Lovely audiences in Yorkshire, too. That deserved a better reaction. Let me get, I think you know the final situation. Lisa was only just in fourth place, one behind Kit Hesketh-Harvey. No, there's only one point between them all. Charles Collingwood, one behind Kit Hesketh-Harvey. But a few points out of the lead was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Lisa Tarbuck, Charles Collingwood. I also thank Susie Best, who for the first time and magnificently has helped me with the score and blown her whistle with such panache. We thank our producer, director, that is Chris Neal. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. We're deeply indebted to this lovely Yorkshire audience here in the City Varieties in Leeds. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute.
And there's another display of linguistic acrobatics at the same time next Monday. And you can hear tonight's instalment again next Sunday at midday.